In.
Push star, push pound, 2, 9, 7, 5, 6, 8, 10. Okay, I think we're back.
Everyone connected?
Can everyone hear us now? Okay, Ed says he can hear us, so I worked that, and we're recording, so.
Martha's still here?
Martha is still there.
Yes, I'm here.
Participant named Jan on here. Okay.
All right, so, judging through my less than good memory, as I recall, we were about to get an.
Our internet's working.
Amendment from, or a.
Right.
A motion from Jan on that.
Yes.
Would you like to make that motion now?
I'll make a motion, we approve the, agenda as written with the addition of, potholes and information item.
I second it.
Okay, further discussion? Hearing none, Danielle?
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Do we have any public comments?
I did not receive any. And it doesn't look like anyone is unmuting themselves to partake.
Okay. We'll move to, action item, the RV park restroom.
All right, we got word from the, Curry County Planning Department that a floodplain permit is not needed if we're not gonna change the structural, walls or slabs to that building. Harbor Sanitary is reviewing the sand sediment interceptor to determine what size we actually need. We submitted the smallest size, actually it's the same one that we have in our, original drawings for the prefab building, so I would assume that size would be good enough. So we're just waiting on Harbor Sanitary, they expect to have the answer by next Thursday on the size of the sand interceptor, and they're, the word that we got, they're happy with, the plan of the sand center, sand,
Interceptor.
Yeah, sediment interceptor, just as long as it prevents sand from getting in their system, they're okay with us reopening that restroom.
So, when you say no structural changes, that changes the motion of cutting the door on the side and fixing that?
Yeah, we just left that out of there, so it wouldn't be a problem. So, we're thinking about putting the, block wall, idea back in front of the building. So we have that in a drawing where it'll be, the same kind of block wall that we have out on the beach. So it'll be like a secondary wave interceptor before it comes to the building. We already got doors on it, so.
Call out how tall it's gonna be?
Yeah, it's the same block size, 2 foot by 6 foot.
So we won't create a blind spot in there where nefarious things can happen behind that wall?
Don't think so, no.
All right.
Most of the work, we're thinking, most of the work's gonna be done by, port employees. Probably most of the demolition will be, there'll be some plumbing that will probably contract out. The roof will be contracted out. Electrical would be as well, obviously.
So worst case on the roof would be a complete tear down to the trusses and start over from there?
Yeah, with possibility of adding tails, new tails, but, yeah.
And looking at the stuff you provided, there's a sand bucket and then a floor drain. You know, I understand the sand bucket sits underneath the floor drain?
Sand bucket sits inside that floor drain.
Inside.
Yeah.
So that will have to be emptied as well as eventually the interceptor.
Yep, we'll have a daily, you know, a daily clean of those and then whatever the manufacturer recommendation and or cleaning out as needed for the sand interceptor. I don't expect by having sand traps in the floor, we should see very much, but we'll have to just wait and see how long it takes for sand to accumulate in those.
Okay, so we're not opening the showers, or we are opening the showers?
Yeah, we plan on opening the showers, but we're gonna put a door with a keypad on it, So it would be guest only.
That answered my surfer question.
Yep.
It will be limited to guest use only. Surfers can use the outside shower.
Well, I'm not trying to suggest that I don't like surfer, but yeah.
They bring a lot of sand.
That's the issue with the sand, so. Okay. Questions? Comments?
Well, I have one question on the sand traps, primarily. You've got these little baskets, and then you still have the sand trap that's gonna be, how many gallons is what you're recommending? Three? Is that the way I'm reading it? 300 pounds?
It's a size 300.
The capacity is, I don't know if the capacity is 300, 300? They have sizes 300, 400, 500, all the way up to 1,000. Then they have a cubic foot of 43. I don't really understand, but the Harbor Sanitary's engineer is supposed to size it for our restroom.
The company that I looked at, they make about 2,000 gallons, which is, I know, overkill. But I looked at some up at the Indian Casino, and I looked at them at Winchester Bay. This still requires, even a 300-gallon tank would still require pumping out periodically, right? Mm-hmm. Do we have that equipment, or are we going to call?
We'll be calling a Roto-Rooter, or possibly... it would probably be CTR. I don't think the city would do their new storm drain, so.
But you have no idea at this time how frequently that would require pumping?
I don't, especially with having sand cups that are supposed to be checked daily, that will be checked daily. The amount of sand getting into it should be very minimal. So it... That'll, I mean, that's...
The end that we would have difficulties with Harbor Sand if there is any difficulties. So they're reviewing, they're going to give us a size to put in, and that's what we're going to be using. And then we will make the necessary arrangements to however we need to have it pumped out, etc. And we're doing this floor plan because this is what will not be impacted with the county, or we will not be impacted with fees and all that sort of thing.
Right, the floodplain.
The floodplain permit.
Okay.
Right.
That's all I have.
The wind in the main bathroom area, the sink area, okay, we're going to find out floor drain in there because we hose everything down,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
So then the sand that's carried in there will go into the interceptor outside.
That,
are we going to have a floor drain in there as well?
We'll have a floor drain inside the bathroom where everything will get washed down to, and that will have a cup in it, and then that will also be ran through this sand trap,
okay.
The larger sand trap as well. So we are making all of our gray water a double safety, I guess. So you're going to have cups to catch the immediate, and then this larger one to catch anything that makes it by, or if there was an excess of sand that was overflowing in a day from the, you know, the cup, we have something behind it.
Double catching.
I mean, it's not that big. It's not a big deal for us to put the traps in and to do that. And I think it'll show that we're trying to protect Harbor Sanitary System.
How about the showers? Those are black water.
The showers will, those are, those are gray water and.
The shower.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to run those through, with sand traps and through this also. The only thing that will be ran, you know, straight through will be the toilets and the urinals. Be the only thing that'll be ran straight through.
That certainly sounds to me like that covers the issue.
It should. I mean, it's basically the same thing that prefab building's gonna be. This is the same design as prefab's gonna be. The gray water's gonna be the same way, the, same exact, interceptor. So I don't know why that wouldn't be good enough.
We put two boxes here just for the, we put option one and option two. I know they're kind of smaller, but if we can break, not have quite such a large one and go with one on each side that's as equal to the one big one, it might not mean such a large interceptor right there. So we're going to, well, that's why the extra boxes are there, just so we have options.
So in the shower area, when you're going to have doors, so it'll be private for each person showering. And so inside there, will there be a bench for them to put their items on or not?
Not necessarily inside their shower area. There'll be hooks. You know, we'll put some hooks and stuff on there.
Okay.
But I don't think there's a footprint enough in there. We'll look if we can squeeze in some sort of a bench stool type thing. I know it'd be nice, but I'm not sure about the room. But we will put a bench back out here out in the common area.
All right.
You know, at least to give them somewhere to put. We're gonna have to do some careful measuring and making sure we're not necking anything down too much. But we want to try and add some sort of stalling there to try and alleviate the locker room shower feel.
Okay. Anything else? All right, I entertain a motion on this item.
I make a motion to approve the restoration of the existing main restroom shower building as part of the Harvey Park project using Ford construction funds.
I'll second it.
Well, I have a question on that. We're not using the funds that we.
That's the port construction.
That's
fund.
The port construction. That's where that money went to. Was the port construction fund.
All right. So we're clear. We have a motion and a second to approve the restoration of existing shower bathroom building and. For clarity, not coming out of the port construction fund, which is the loan we got to develop the RV.
Yes.
All right, Danielle.
We want to reference this drawing. Is this what it's going to be?
We don't need to reference it. It's part of the packet. It's. Okay. I don't think we need to reference it.
Sharon.
Yes.
Joe.
Yes.
Ken.
Yes.
Richard.
Yes. Okay, that brings us to the RV park project. What's left of the RV park project?
Okay, so on the cover sheet, I listed what the current project scope was already been approved, and then I listed the proposed based on the approval that we just got on the restoration. So the revised scope of work would include 7 pull-through sites, and demoing the structure slabs, a small restroom, electrical upgrades for the 7 new sites, then electrical upgrade for all the remaining pull-through sites, reconfigure and modify 78 through 103. Those are the sites that are having problems pulling out when they leave. So we'd be turning those at an angle and my come through the pedestal for those sites. I haven't heard about Harbor Sanitary's test yet. I did ask. I haven't got a response yet.
It's probably in the neighborhood of 3 feet high, you know, that would last us a little bit longer, you know, but I would definitely say when it came to the dividers, once we get the plans back and we approve it, we have a little further discussion on what we want. Some sort of divider.
Do you have any suggestions?
Pardon me?
Do you have any suggestions now?
Well, the only thing that comes to mind is, you know, weatherproof from a deterioration standpoint or something like that. Vinyl also has issues in this climate because it grows green stuff. It's the ones that are white on my skin. So I would just recommend you find something that is as durable and low maintenance as you can find to do the job. I mean, basically, we're just drawing a fancy line between sites so people kind of have their space. But
yep.
So to make sure that we understand the change is we're losing two sites from the original plan, two RVs, pull through RV sites. And we're going to take out the small restroom. No new bathroom, we've already come to that conclusion. So now we're down to seven sites, which still is within our projected payoff number.
Yes, yep.
Okay.
These sites will rent at a higher rate than the other the other existing sites that we have.
Well, right now, all pull-through sites are the same. Once all this gets done and upgraded, then I think we would revisit our rates.
I think the question was, is the pull-throughs are priced differentially than the back end, right? The back
well, end. Those are different. Yeah, I thought he was talking about the slanted ones.
Well, you can put these are physically larger sites than what we have in the angle allows them to put in the larger pull-throughs and that conveniently, correct?
It's almost a wash. And once you get on the other side of the bathroom, the reason we're not slanting those is because you can see there as the road turns, the footprint on it width widens. So we were planning, that's why we just kept them the same.
So other than that, it looks like we're going to go ahead with the electrical upgrades and all the things that we talked about. So really, other than the bathroom, the only change is the loss of two sites.
And, you know, it, with the loss of two sites, you know, and not putting the bathroom in the back with, we're gaining three back row sites that we weren't. We didn't lose those either. So those are at $3,800, I think. So you almost grab one more pull through site by keeping those back sites as well and not losing those. You get three back at 3,800.
And I remember what we talked about either last time or the time before, and the concept idea of this RV park is that this would be, these would be items that would be paid for out of the loan. And we also had a notion of a small laundromat that may be paid for more out of port funds down the road.
Yes.
That's still in the.
Oh yeah, that's always in the mix.
And I think by going down to us a little bit, you know, refining this a little bit, we might have enough money left over in the end to build it out of there. But, you know, before we build, you know, get everything on here that we want and find out we can't afford it, we're going to start smaller. And, you know, the money's are, the loans are. So if there's enough money left over, you know, even if we can put 20, 30,000 out of it back into it, and, you know, it, we'll use up all that loan money.
If I recall the way we left that is that would be constructed as funds were available. So if the funds were available after this loan, we'd do it. If not, you might mix and match or budget for it down the road.
Exactly.
All right, good. We're just trying to make sure that when we're, because we're getting now to yet another point of where we're making a final decision. So I want to make sure we've got all the stuff that's got mm-hmm. that goes into it. So, okay. Any other questions? Comments?
I have a question.
Go ahead.
So on this motion, you have in here that the sewer caps or the self-closing caps, and it hasn't been tested yet. So is that something we want to go ahead and say that's what we're going to do in our motion?
I
when we don't
I would
know?
Say so. If Harbor Sanitary says it's not good enough.
Audio back. Okay. Sorry about that, commissioners.
You're okay.
Back.
What I was about to say is before we do motion and final action, I'll open this up for public comment. Gary, do you have a comment?
It's just a couple of things. You're going to remove that bathroom where Faley's used to be. Depends on what you're doing with those sites alongside the river from the I measured from the river to Bailey's bathroom was 300 feet, a little over 300 feet. If you take that bathroom out, if I remember, there was some deal about they have to be within 500 feet of a bathroom. I don't remember for sure, but I'm pretty sure that was a
10 seconds deal.
So I don't know what you guys do plan on doing with those sites on the river. The other thing I have a comment on is the sand trap that you're putting in. You're redoing all the plumbing. I don't see why you wouldn't want to put a little bit bigger sand trap here. You got it set for a 300 or the next size 400 or 500 just in case. I mean, you're looking at maybe a couple hundred dollars difference in price of the sand trap. You've already got all the plumbing in it. I would put a bigger sand trap in. But option two, where you're putting a few small ones in, I think you would run into problems trying to get the sand out of it. Because you're going to have to try and use the factors, I think, between the sand traps. And that's it. I just wanted to bring that to your attention.
Okay. Do you have any other public comments from people on the line? Anybody unmuting or raising their hand or waving flags?
Not that I am seeing. No one is
unmuted. Okay. All right. Any further discussion? If not, we're ready for action.
I make a motion to approve modifying the scope of the RV park project. Scope of the project will include installing new pull-through sites with utilities, reconfiguring and remodeling pull-through sites 78 through 103 for better access with utilities and dividers. All remaining pull-through sites to include new utilities and new dividers, all sewer caps to be replaced with self-closing cap, and two new trash bin enclosures.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further? Danielle?
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Gary's comments were really not part of this. Would be more germane to the other one, but I think you understand what he said.
Yeah, we understand.
Reviewing the differences.
Yep.
All right. Eviction of Seal Cove Realty.
Okay, back in November 10th, the port terminated Seal Cove Realty per his default provisions in his lease. I attached a letter for the board's review. And we talked about this before, I think a month or two before, about his lease coming to an end. But now he's refusing to remove his material from the lease premise. He had mortgage here as well, and he ended up leaving with his boat. So he took off with his boat. Before he took off, Travis did ask him to surrender his belongings so we can, you know, lease out that building, and he refused. So the next step is to proceed with legal action to get his stuff out of there so we can move on putting someone else in there. I got potentially four of the people that want to lease out that building. So anyways, we need to make a decision on moving this stuff out. And Martha needs the board's decision to proceed doing that.
Martha, I have a question for you. If I'm assuming to do this, we'll need some kind of a court order to get in there and take that material. I'm concerned in this particular case that those file cabinets may contain business information or personal information from clients. What are we required to do with that?
Well, there's a process outlined where first we'll proceed with the commercial eviction. We need a court order to actually enter the premises and legally regain possession of the premises. At that time, we will be required to, I can't remember the statutory period, but store all of his possessions for a certain period of time. Once that period has passed, if he has not come and collected those possessions, then we can get rid of them. You know, we'd have to see what's in there. If there is sort of sensitive information, then I would recommend either we continue to hold on to it to see if he comes for it, or it be destroyed in a manner that information can't get out. But, you know, we'd have to see what's there. I don't know if there's anything in there or not.
Remove those, we're probably going to be under the obligation to securely store those, I would assume, so they can be.
Right, yes. And once we take possession of them, we'll be responsible from then to their ultimate disposition of personal property, whether that's destruction, sale, donation, whatever it is. But the very first thing we have to do is get legal possession of the property returned back to the port, and then we can enter and take care of the personal property that's been left behind.
Okay.
So unfortunately, because Mr. Simpson didn't surrender, that requires that we go to court to have a court order it.
Okay.
Gary, excuse me. That's his sailboat out here in the river now, right?
No,
and that's a different one.
Different one.
Okay. Does he?
Thank you.
He's living on a sailboat, correct?
He's living on a Chris Craft, but he's left. We terminated his mortgage
right.
some time ago, and he left. So he's on his boat, but he refused to tell us where he was going either.
Okay. But does the boat, is it registered in his name?
Yeah.
As far as so,
I think it's a documented vessel. I think that was part of the reason why he got terminated is because he refused to register it with the state.
If we're going through the legal process of doing all of this, I think we ought to put a lien on his boat also.
Does he owe us mortgage?
Oh, yeah. He owes us the lease and mortgage.
Well, I would think we would follow the same procedure we would with any other boat.
Oh, yeah. We will be.
It's either a lien or collections is what I think our options are.
Right now, we're talking about two separate actions.
Yeah, two separate things.
The thing we're dealing with here today is to get
the
building, items the in the building.
Need to move on, getting them out of that building so we can lease it out to someone else. Okay. And then we'll deal with his account at another time.
Okay.
Can I, this is Martha, can I request that in addition to the motion that you add authority for the port manager to sign any necessary legal documents?
Okay. So Martha, we can proceed at this time with a lien on the boat, or should that go through? Do you want that separate, Gary?
Yeah, I think we should do that separate. We need to get all the costs narrowed down. What he owes the port.
We have a timing issue with that one is too, so it may not quite be time to proceed on collecting. Would prefer to just move ahead with the commercial eviction of the Seal Cove Realty property at this point.
So we already have a procedure in place for the vote, so that's going to be followed, whatever that is. So we don't.
Yep.
This takes special action to do.
Yep.
So, okay.
Yep.
All right.
Okay. Well, also the COVID thing comes in play too, because he has until March 31st to pay his COVID portion, because he's got a COVID portion on that lease too. So. I mean, it's a little complicated, but March 31st, if he doesn't pay, then that kicks in as well. So we need to get all those costs put together. Then we come to the board with the lien process or whatever the board wants to go after.
All right.
Okay, motion. Motion to approve port legal counsel to begin the legal process of removing personal belongings from Seal Cove Realty lease premises, and also give the port manager the authority to sign any legal notices.
I'll second that.
Can I amend that to any legal notices or documents that pertain to this?
Sure.
Particular issue? Can you clear?
Okay.
Okay. So motions, we have second. Can I second this? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We have a motion and a second. Further discussion, hearing none, Danielle.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Okay, that brings us to information items, and Ken has asked, we have potholes at the RV park.
If you drive around the port, this property looks wonderful, except for that one section over there where all the potholes are. Travis, I know you don't agree with filling them in, but I've dealt with potholes for a long time at another location. They don't go away by themselves. And if you put base in them, yes, you have to come back once a year and possibly grade it. But those, all that happens right now is those potholes get deeper and deeper and bigger because when they pull their motorhomes and that through there, they chip off the edges. We're asking people to come here with $100,000 rigs and then drive them through an area that they beat the heck out of them. My personal feeling is we need to come up with a solution to it. And right now, it's putting in some just three-quarter road base would solve a lot of the problems. And I would like to see a plan developed to do something with those potholes.
Are we talking about potholes on the curve on the exit road or potholes in the dry camping? Because there's
the major road exiting the RV.
So it's the 1,000 potholes that we've been filling up is the issue.
Yeah.
I just want to clarify the, because there, I mean, dry camping is bumpy. There's,
I'm not concerned about the dry camping area. I'm concerned about the main road that the people come out with their vehicle to leave the RV park to get back out on the paved road. You're talking maybe 30 to 60 feet wide. That is, and it's, what, 50 yards long, right in that turn particularly.
Okay, well, we'll come back with a solution and the cost estimate and see if it fits our budget to fix.
Okay. That's all.
Commissioner's comment.
No, I'll save my comment for our next meeting.
Yep,
yeah,
Joe?
I have nothing to say.
Yep.
Salmon season.
I will, I'll just give you the preliminary look at what I found out yesterday on salmon, and that is we haven't done anything in terms of trying to do season yet, but there is a forecast of 1.6 million Columbia River coho in the ocean this year. That's the highest since 1972. That will most likely provide us with a great deal of opportunity. There's some caveats in there, but I won't go into them because they're muddy the water. As far as Chinook goes, the Klamath is about like last year. It's got more 4-year-olds and 3-year-olds this year, which is off of last year. Sacramento's down about half of what we had last year. So we will have challenges on the Chinook side for both commercial and recreational. One thing to keep in mind is that there may be some opportunity for commercial coho fishing this year, which is not common. So I just mentioned that. So we will set this starting next, whatever the 3rd of March is, at that Wednesday or Thursday is when the meeting begins. It'll be done in terms of alternatives on the 10th. So I'll come back and then tell you what it looks like.
So, Richard, on that B1 vitamin deficiency issue that they're having with the Chinook and the Sacramento, how is that going to affect our future?
I don't know. Okay. We'll get a report on that this meeting as to what that is all about. The implications, though, are at this point unknown. So the main implication from that would be that the naturally spawned fish didn't have any success.
Right.
Anyway, okay, our next regular meeting date is Tuesday, March 16th at 6 p.m. And with nothing else, we'll adjourn the meeting.